This is a Crowd podcast.
This is Influenced, the podcast that will get inside your mind, or at least make you think that it has. We've got guests, but a lot of podcasts have guests. My guests think they're here to plug something, but little do they know, from the moment they walk in, I'm playing games with their minds.
How did you do that?
I'm in control.
How?
What?
Get out of my head!
See, I love mind games. I'm a mentalist. What my guests don't know is that they're being influenced the entire time. I mean, even if it is in the podcast title.
Are you ready?
Oh my God.
Watch. I'm just messing with you.
Oh
no,
my
I can't.
God.
I can't. Can you imagine?
Are you going to explain or?
Oh my God. How?
Feel weirded out?
Very.
We're just getting started, trust me.
You're literally a wizard. This is crazy. I feel like I'm chatting to Dumbledore.
Because you don't really know what's about to happen.
I have no idea.
How?
Is that his name?
Yeah.
What?
Wow.
I'm Joel M, and my guest this week is actor and writer Tom Reed Wilson. Now, you may have seen Tom's Word of the Day Instagram videos, and his new book is all about words. So that being said, I'm going to try and influence Tom to pick out a specific word from his book. And I predict that word will be glabella. We'll see, but for now, guard your mind, and welcome to Influenced. Tom, welcome to Influenced.
Oh, I'm so chuffed to be here, Joel.
You know, you've got to be the friendliest person I've ever met. You're absolutely lovely. And it's a real joy to have you in today. We made it happen.
Well, I'm delighted to be here.
Yeah.
Well, with your wonderful Northern Irish tones. I've got champagne in my knees listening to you.
You speak in such an interesting way, and I've never met anybody like you. And we're going to talk a bit more about that in a second. But as per every episode of Influenced, I always like to start off by getting to know you a little bit better.
Getting to know all about me.
But only a little bit, because you're going to tell me a lie as well. We're going to play a game.
Yes.
A game of two truths and a lie to kick off, to get warmed up and ready to go.
Oh, lovely. Well, consider me braced.
I do. I do. The game is simple. You're going to tell me three things about yourself, two of which I want to be true. One thing I want to be a big fat lie. You can take a second to get these things in your head
right now. All right.
And whenever you've got them, you can deliver them to me in any order you like. It's important
that you relax
first.
I think I'm ready.
You look very relaxed.
Yes.
That's good. Most people are very on edge. That's okay. It's good.
I think it's you.
You think so?
Yes.
Nobody's ever told me that.
You suffuse me with relaxation.
Oh, good. That's a nice compliment here. Okay. Well, that's right at the start of the show. We'll see how you feel at the end. see how you get on. Okay, Tom. Whenever you're ready, you give me your first truth or lie in your own time.
Okay. When I was knee-high to a grasshopper, I sang before the Queen.
Ooh, okay, that's number one.
That's number one.
Were you going to give me more detail, or were you going to go on to the second
one?
No,
I was going to proceed, but you can probe me.
The reason I ask is because it seemed like you were very quick to move on very fast, and most people do give the lie first, so I just wanted to put that out there. But yeah, proceed. Continue. Number two.
This is my enigmatic face.
Mm.
It's just a beaming countenance.
All your faces are a little bit enigmatic.
Yes, well, I've only really got two expressions. Sort of beaming or in repose.
I don't want to see the repose one. We don't want that today.
No, okay. Well, I'll just beam at
just
you.
Beaming
I'll just
today.
Beam at you.
Okay. It's the eyes. Okay, continue.
The second one is that one of my granny's dearest friends is Dame Angela Lansbury, and they are still pen pals.
Okay. I like that's one that I hope is true. I hope is true, but I'm not sure. And last but not least, give me your third
one is
piece
that
of
my
nonsense.
Dad was nominated for Sports Personality of the Year in 1979.
Okay, I'd like to ask which sport?
Sailing. And specifically, dinghy sailing.
Yes. Nothing I've done in my lifetime. Yeah. Have you ever gone dinghy sailing?
I have been with him, but I am hopeless. I can just about be a helms person. But it's another language, Joel. I mean, he'll sort of say things like, tacking! and it means I have to tie a knot or something, and I don't know what he means.
Don't know what that means.
And,
I
you
just
know,
cry.
To be a ship's mate, you have to be quite sort of thick-skinned, and I'm paper-thin-skinned.
I think
this is another situation where all three are very believable. You've stumped me a little bit. Okay, I'm going to ask you one more question.
Yes.
Which is, I actually do believe the sailing is true. I think that he really was sportsperson of the year. Did you say he won sportsperson of the year or was nominated?
Nominated.
And he didn't win.
Didn't win. Sailors seldom win,
well,
sadly.
That sounds about right, yeah.
They're egregiously overlooked.
Mm. I'm going to say that's true. I think that one's true. You don't have to tell me just yet. It's one of the first ones, which is the lie. Okay, can you tell me just one more time, the first piece of gossip had to do with Her Majesty the Queen. Could you give me that one again?
Yes, I sang for her when I was knee-high to a grasshopper.
Okay, and your second one?
Angela Lansbury is one of my granny's oldest friend. What?
Careful, your right hand won't stop twitching, but continue.
Oh, interesting. And they are still pen pals and Zoom pals.
And looking away, really. You haven't broken eye contact once. I'm going to go ahead and say that that's nonsense. The second one, I think you really did sing for the Queen, but I don't believe the pen pal story. Am I right?
Is now the time to tell you?
Yes.
You are absolutely right.
Yes, that's what we like to hear.
That's dazzling. Good. And it was my twitch that did it.
Yeah, it's interesting because sometimes we record these episodes at a table where people can hide their hands and that sort of thing. It's a little bit unfair on you, but you're good and you've maintained eye contact the whole time until I called you out on the hand. And that's when you decided
and
to look away.
I averted my gaze.
You did, and you do make very good eye contact. So watch for that.
Fiddlesticks. No, I don't mind. I'm glad you saw through me.
But you can see how I did it, right?
Yes.
And so now you know in future, anytime you're going to tell a big fib, which you would never do, you just make sure you focus, but not
yes,
too much.
Just bore into you. Bridge of the nose.
I feel like you're a very honest person, though I can't imagine you lying often. It was a bit of a struggle for
no,
you.
No, I don't think I do tell porkies really, except occasionally I give lots of compliments. I mean, I give them like confetti.
It's a good thing to
but
do.
But they are all absolutely true. But
yes.
Once in a blue moon, I will find my retinas resting on something. Mm. And they would have rested for 3 solid minutes, like a sort of lurid orange handbag,
yes,
which I don't very much like. But I've clocked it for too long not to acknowledge it. So then I say, oh, that handbag's lovely. Mm. And that's a lie.
That's a big fib.
But it's very, very rare.
I think giving compliments is an important thing. Not enough people do it. And it was lovely. You did compliment me when you came in a number of times as well. And I appreciated that.
Yes. Well, it's all true.
Well, it's not flattering.
Well, I actually complimented you on the most curious thing, on your vascularity.
You did, yeah. The veins in my arms popping out today. It must
yes,
have been because I had
rice. Yes, they are. And I don't know why that's so attractive.
You think
but
it's attractive?
It's a very attractive thing. I don't know.
You know,
I mean, maybe because it's reminiscent of a swollen member. I don't know. I mean, that's very crude, isn't it? But maybe that is why, anatomically.
Well, that definitely was the truth. I think you kept eye contact the whole time. That time.
Unnerving me, so.
Yeah. It's a bit hit and miss. Some people hate it. They really don't like the old veins.
Maybe the ones
freaky.
That aren't drawn to swollen members.
Well, maybe so, yeah. Well, I'll have to ask them next time.
Yes.
Okay, that was pretty easy, guys. I used my body language reading skills there, and because I'm sat on the sofa, I was able to see him the entire time. His hand would not stop twitching during the lie, and you do not need to be a mind reader to figure that one out. Well, listen, speaking of body language, you are a trained actor, and it's something you
yes,
have to train
gosh,
to do
you've
yourself.
You've done your homework, haven't you?
Don't miss a trick.
Don't miss a trick.
Well, you're a trained actor, which means that you, in a way, have to train your own body language, and that's something that actually can be quite difficult to do.
Yes. You know, the funny thing is, I think that I've always been governed by words principally
yes.
when playing a part. It kind of, it's the draw for me, fabulous text. Mm-hmm. And occupying a rhythm that diverges from my own.
Mm.
Even now, when I'm not acting, I learn a sonnet every 2 weeks.
Do you really?
Yes. I can whip one out for you if you like.
Please do, if you can.
Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate. Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May, and summer's lease hath all too short a date. Sometime too hot the eye of heaven shines, and often is his gold complexion dimmed, and every fair from fair sometime declines, by chance or nature's changing course untrimmed. But thy eternal summer shall not fade, nor lose possession of the fair thou owest, nor shall death brag thou wanderest in his shade, when through eternal lines to time thou growest. So long as men can breathe and eyes can see, so long lives this, and this gives life to thee.
That gets a round of applause from everyone in the studio. Come on.
That's amazing. Sonnet 18.
So, well, firstly, you have to have a good memory. Second, I had to learn Shakespeare because I did drama in school. And I remember I played Lady Macbeth, would you believe it?
Oh, how delicious.
Yeah, it was a good time. I enjoyed it. I peaked too early.
Unsex me here.
Yeah. I actually can't remember it. That's the problem. I wish I could.
Out, damn spot.
Well, correct. I want to know why you do it. Do you do it because you enjoy it or is it to test yourself? Why do you do
it? I think it's sort of swells my frontal lobe and keeps my grey cells dancing a bit. You know, I'm always very fearful, especially these days, because there's been a kind of an 8-year hiatus while I've sort of played in the sandbox of telly where I haven't played a role. Mm. And I've been so fearful that one day I'll be asked back with a lovely role that I can't say no to.
Yes.
And I would have forgotten how to do it. So the sonnets kind of keep me facile, I guess.
I think that's wonderful. And it's, you know, it's very responsible of you to stay on top of that. So that most people would just let it slip.
Well, I hope it's not a futile exercise.
Well, it's sad. I mean, I played a lot of music growing up. And for years, I just, when I focused on the magic thing, let the music slip. And now it's hard to get it back again. So
what's
good.
Your instrument, Joe?
Piano.
Oh, I say. Well, I should be able to tell that from your digits. And that must help with sleight of hand.
It does.
Having pianist fingers.
It really, really does. I have quite strong hands. Don't really have strong anything else. Yeah,
hence the vascularity.
See, it's all coming together. It all makes sense.
It's all knit together like a beautiful tapestry suddenly.
So listen, presumably you're a big reader as well, I'm guessing.
Yes, voracious.
Yes. Okay, so what sort of books do you read? What are you reading? Are you reading anything good at the moment?
I finished a book last night called Take My Hand, which was a fascinating book. It's a work of fiction, but it's based on a real story of a court case in America right after Roe versus Wade, where a lot of very poor women and disproportionately black women were being sterilized against their will. And often they were prepubescent. And it was the most heartrending story. I mean, I just couldn't stop crying. I wept and wept and wept. But it's beautifully written.
Do you enjoy crying at books? I hate crying. I'm such an ugly crier. So if I read and I feel like it's coming out, I have to stop.
Oh, well, I think my bladder has always been too close to my eyes. And I'm apt to get liberally leaky, Joe. Liberally leaky. I mean, I find it really cathartic. And I think that's why my life orbits the arts constantly, whether it's plays or musicals or film or literature. And I'm drawn to them because they inspire catharsis in me in a way that nothing else does, really.
Yeah. Big difference between reading books and writing books, though. And we have two of
yours. Oh, what a nice segue.
You like that?
You've segued before, haven't you?
I practiced once or twice.
I go so far as to say that was a sexy segue.
You think that?
Yes, I do.
I'm loving this interview. This is good. My head's going to be so big by the end of it. Well, you have a children's book and then the new book, which we'll talk about in a little second.
Yes.
What led to writing a book for children? Was that something you ever thought you were going to do?
I never thought I was going to do it. And I found myself, especially in lockdown, in fact, increasingly frustrated by the absence of an etymology book for children, which I know sounds a bit bizarre and highfalutin, but etymology, which is sort of the study of the origins of words, I think can help ineffably with things like spelling and literacy in general. And my goddaughter, I homeschooled in English during the lockdowns, and she's quite dyslexic, and she found that the stories of words and the etymology helped her cement and retain the spelling. So I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful to have a kind of etymological dictionary through the prism of poetry, where everything is a kind of a light lyrical story, but you can have that etymological wrestle, if you like, afterwards with a parent or a guardian.
Well, you're obviously very passionate about it. You'd have to be, really, wouldn't you? Where do you think that comes from?
Always since you were a little boy? My dad. There was a wonderful memory, one of my first memories, when I was really quite young. And my dad and I passed a Christmas window display, and it was beautiful and very festive. And he said, that's a beautiful display. Window, van der Auge, the wind's eye. Nothing to do with glass, everything to do with ventilation. Mm. And I was agog. I was like, wow, wow. And similarly, I mean, well, I can do one for you if you like.
Please.
The poem sort of frame etymology in that storytelling way. So I'll just pick one at random.
Yes, two.
Jenga, letter J.
Yes.
Jenga, here's a dauntless claim. Jenga is my favorite game. Mm. To further praise its skilled creator, giant Jenga's even greater. Mm. If, dear reader, you've not played, the rules are easily conveyed. Build a tower, block by block. Take one out, watch it rock. As you place it on the top, pray your edifice won't flop. The name of Jenga fits ideally, meaning build, but in Swahili.
You must have the most miraculous memory. That blows my mind. It really does. And I teach people how to memorize things. That's just... But you have to really, really care about it or else you wouldn't retain all that.
Yes, I think, again, that's why it's called Every Word Tells a Story. Because yes. I think if the story is retained,
yes.
everything else kind of follows suit in a way. It's a funny old thing. And rhythm helps you remember, I think. You know, I had yes. a great aunt... And I went to her 90th birthday party and she had very, very advanced dementia, so advanced that she couldn't talk. Mm. And she had been to church with her eldest daughter that morning and sung all the hymns perfectly. And she couldn't speak. Isn't that extraordinary?
I had a similar thing. A good friend of mine, her grandfather, dementia, and the exact same thing, could still remember all the hymns.
Yes.
Isn't that mental?
I think rhythm and music
in particular
knit themselves into the darkest caverns yes. of the mind and they never leave.
And you can still, there's people who suffer dementia who still years into it can play the piano. And
yes, that's true, Joel.
It's bizarre.
I've heard that, yes.
It's really, really bizarre. Our brains are incredible,
yes,
incredible
and maybe
things.
Muscle memory is almost a different quadrant entirely.
Well, that's definitely a thing. I actually think sometimes, this happens for me with sleight of hand, say for magic.
Yes.
I have it all the time where there might be a trick that I haven't done in years and without even thinking about it, if I'm talking to somebody else and fiddling with cards, I'll find myself doing things that I haven't played with in years and years and years and it's still in there somewhere.
Oh, I
We are amazing
say.
Creatures, aren't we?
We are. Mm. Very curious, but fascinating.
We are, yeah. So tell me this. You obviously find it very interesting and important for you. Do you think... I think I know your answer already, but we're teaching children words and building a vocabulary. Why do you think that's important? Or do you think it's important, or is it just for fun?
I think that actually everything that I believe in is built into the world of words in terms of being open-minded and good, fascinated, interrogative citizen.
Yes.
Because the more you learn about words, the more you learn that their provenance is utterly global, especially in this country, because we haven't had word academies like France and Germany where we sort of police the hoovering of the world's words. We've always sort of said in a very liberal, outward-looking fashion, if we don't have a word for it, let's pinch it from somebody that does. Like,
yes.
We don't have a word for laughing at someone slipping on a banana skin, but the Germans have Schadenfreude. So
really?
So we use that.
That's fun.
And we didn't have a word for pajamas, so we pinched it from Punjabi. So, you know...
We stole it.
Yeah, so it's...
Thieves.
We are, but in the most sort of kind of reverential way. And I think that to teach all of that to children shows you that to be creative is to look outwards
yes.
and to take inspiration from the world around you. And in the world of lexicon, you have this rich, rich, colourful tapestry of people doing that for years on years on years.
My dad would have loved to have met you. He would have loved me to have met you earlier when I was younger because he loves words and he never shuts up. But he's not as eloquent as you are with the whole thing. he's a big reader too. Tell me this, what is, if you have one, your favourite word? Or do you have one?
Oh, gosh.
That's a loaded question.
It changes all the time. But one word I love at the moment, and don't think me terribly naughty, but it's yonic.
Yonic.
Yonic is the Sanskrit equivalent of phallic. And we say phallic all the time, you know, about anything that sort of protrudes from the ground.
Yes.
But yonic, I think there's much more of yonic imagery in nature than phallic imagery. I think it means like a vulva from the Sanskrit yonis, meaning vulva. And I think that you see kind of yonic cleaves of valleys. You see yonic whirls of blooms, yonic leaves. I think even my sleeve at the moment on my forearm is
so
kind of
yonic.
Hugging it yonically. Yes. It's such a versatile
word. Never heard that
word.
I'd imagine you run into the problem with speaking and people often don't understand what you mean. That's got to be a problem now and again. Because there have been a couple of times you've spoken and I've gone, that went over my head.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, but usually I'll just ask. I can't actually remember.
Yes, well, that's
I can usually piece it together, but I'd imagine some people must be lost. But that's got to be pretty fun,
That's
right?
What I advocate, actually. Yes. I advocate asking. I mean, I hope I always ask. I hope I'm not too proud to ask.
Well, you have word of the day on Instagram, right?
Yes.
How long have you been doing that for?
Oh, gosh, Joel. 6 years, I think.
Wow,
7 years. Something like that. It's something I've always done, you know, within a company, you know, when I was a thespian.
Yes.
In the touring companies to divert and tickle people, I would do a word of the day, and I would challenge my contemporaries to try and employ it sort of 8 times that day to then cement it totally. And so when I realized that I sort of had to have a social media presence to accompany my profession, I thought, what on earth am I going to do? And it suddenly occurred to me. In fact, I think I asked a dear chum with whom I had acted, she said, why don't you do that? Because we liked it very much in the company.
It's a lovely idea. Where do you choose your words? Or how do you choose your words?
Joel, any which way. I mean, sometimes I will do a crossword. I'm a tremendous cruciverbalist. There's a good word.
One more time.
Cruciverbalist.
Cruciverbalist. Love it.
The same crux root that's in crucifix, meaning cross, and verbum, the Latin meaning words. So a crossword puzzler. So I'm a passionate cruciverbalist. And if something that comes up and I think, oh, that's most unusual, or I didn't know that, or I wonder what the etymology is, or sometimes the book I'm reading, or sometimes, I mean, not so very long ago, I was walking through Brompton Cemetery, and a very tame squirrel came and chatted to me. I mean, I had some food on me, so, you know, it wasn't just
that'll be it.
My squirrel charisma, but
might be a bit of both.
Maybe a bit of both, a heady melange. But this squirrel was very tame. And then I suddenly thought, I wonder what the etymology of squirrel is, because it doesn't leap out at you. And it means of shadowy tail.
Really?
Because that beautiful...
See, you're always looking for it. That's the key, isn't it?
Shadow. Yes, yes.
You're always looking for it. You've trained your brain just to look for that. You know, honestly, I'm going to try and get better. I'm going to try and learn
Joel.
More words. I am. No, I really am.
Well, that is showpan to my tympanic membrane. It really
Absolutely.
Is.
Well, listen, we're going to have a little bit of a chat in a second. Before we continue, I would love to play a game with you.
Oh,
a game
yes.
of 20 Please. Questions.
Oh.
Are you excited for this?
Indeed.
Well, the rules are simple. I am going to ask you to think of something. It's your choice as to what you think of. I'm going to ask you 20 questions. You can lie to me or you can tell me the truth in your answers. And within those questions, I'm going to tell you what it is you are thinking of. Does that make sense?
Christmas.
It's
okay.
A lot of fun. Okay, but we will get into this in a second. Before we do, a message from our lovely, lovely sponsors.
Did you win a BAFTA?
You also won a BAFTA. I'm Tabzi.
I'm Haider, and welcome to our brand new podcast called The World According to
Tabzi and Haider. Come on, I got the Tabzi first before the Haider.
All right. Well, we're going to be here every week talking about our world, your world, and the world around us.
You are one man that I love and hate so much. You know how to annoy me so well.
Who would be your number one guest to have sat right here?
Peter Jones or Deborah Meaden.
Well, you don't rate Theo Pathetus.
I do rate him.
So make sure you join us every week where we have big guests, big topics, but no big zoo.
Yeah, come on.
Just me and Tabzi.
The World According to Tabzi and Ida. Crowd podcast.
See, why are you so aggressive, bruv?
But I'm trying, you know what I mean? I'm just trying to just do it.
All right, guys, before we get into 20 questions, the next part of this interview is going to be all focused on the glabella. For those of you who don't know, glabella is a smooth part of the forehead above and between the eyebrows, just above your nose. And if I try to sneak in the word glabella in the interview, it's going to be too obvious. So I'm going to have to try another technique. I will be doing a lot of eyebrow raising and gesturing to my forehead. Oh, and also, just a little secret. I've heard Tom mention the word glabella before.
Okay, Tom, the time has come.
Yeah.
A round of 20 questions.
I turtled a bit. I don't know why.
It is a freaky experience. And
yes.
I feel like I'm going to struggle with you a little bit, but we're going to give it our best shot.
Oh, yes.
Because why
it's
not?
It's the only shot to give, I think.
Very, very true. So again, you don't have to tell the truth. You can tell a lie. You're going to be thinking of... you have number choices. We always give people the choice of a first pet, first person you slept with, first person you kissed, your biggest fear, bank PIN codes. What is it that you'd like me to go for?
Fear.
Fear.
My biggest stonking fear.
Your biggest stonking fear. Okay. This is going to be a fun one. Let's give this a try. I don't think you'll have gone for something obvious like spiders. I think you'll have thought of something a little bit more interesting. So we'll try. I also think I might struggle.
Does that count as a question?
Do you know what? We're going to count that as a question. It's only fair, isn't it? Okay, we'll count that as one. That's fair.
My antennae are up, Joe.
They have to be, really. Okay, antennae, interesting. Okay.
Yes.
Give me a second to think about the best way of doing this. Okay.
Yes.
My second question in this case.
Don't be slippery now.
Remember, you can lie or tell the truth.
Yes.
Is this something that you've encountered recently?
No.
No. You seem genuinely happy about that. That's good. Okay. Is this, and you're kind of itching your, just between your eyebrows there for a second. That's
fun.
That was
a genuine itch.
Okay. Is this something that you think many people would be frightened of?
Yes.
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 Okay. I think that's possibly untrue. Is this something that relates to heights?
No.
Does it begin with the letter D?
No.
Close. Ooh. I like that you're mindful now of your right hand again as well. You're kind of paying attention to that.
Oh, is it fiddling?
No, it's not. It's not. But
well,
I think
maybe I should kind of, fiddle.
Maybe just a little bit. It'll help me out. Can you just wiggle your fingers every time you're telling me a lie? That would be helpful.
My wandering digits.
Oh, goodness me. Although, what's interesting is often whenever I point that out, it'll then change to another area. So you want to watch your feet and all sorts.
Oh, well, they jig all the time. I've been moved in exam rooms for that.
Just to add a bit of extra detail to this and to kind of throw you off a little bit, I'm going to ask you during this to think of a number between 1 and 100.
Oh.
And we're going to come to that in just a little minute.
Okay, I've got it.
You have it?
Yes.
You can change your mind if you'd like.
Okay.
Okay, don't tell me it just yet. Is this something to do with a boat?
No.
Is it something to do with an aeroplane?
Yes.
I think I'm going to struggle with you. Okay, be honest for a little second. Forget the lying or telling the truth thing.
Yes.
Is there an unusual word to describe this? Just because of who you are and what you do, I think this might be something I maybe just haven't heard of, which might throw me off a little bit.
No, you would have heard of it.
I would have heard of it.
Absolutely.
The fear or the word describing the fear?
No, the word describing it.
Okay.
No, absolutely, you would have heard of it.
Yes.
And also, I think I've only told one lie so far.
That's interesting because I have to say, out of all the guests I've had so far, I'm really the most stumped with you.
Really?
Genuinely, for
no,
real.
No, I've been absolutely honest.
And I actually often...
Bar one.
Really?
Yeah.
I often... Maybe the listeners will get this before me. It might just be something I might not be in the right frame of mind. Okay, I'm not sure as to what this is. I do think there's a letter C in there somewhere, possibly towards the start. Is that right?
Yes.
Is it the first letter?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just going to go letter by letter. I'm not sure what this fear is, but I'll try and at least get the sound of the word. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. This counts as 26 questions. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K.
I guess I don't know what we're on. Is anyone keeping count?
Nobody count. I'm probably way past 20. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y. Careful. Throw Y in there. Second letter. Oh, I'm not sure what this is in this case. I might actually just admit defeat on this in this case, unless you're afraid of cyclopses, which I don't think is a real thing. So I'm actually going to possibly admit defeat on this. I'm not sure what it is you're thinking of.
Okay.
Before you tell me, I'm going to open up the notes on my phone. I want to show you something kind of fun here. You have a number between 1 and 100, yes?
Yes.
In fact, I'll close the notes in case you think I'm fiddling around. What number between 1 and 100 did you think of?
96.
Would you like to change at the last second?
No.
Any particular reason as to why you picked 96?
No, but immediately after I picked it, I thought, oh, it's Angela Lansbury's age.
Hmm. Isn't that funny? Have a look at this. I'm going to go in and you can make sure I'm not cheating here so people can see. Can you see the notes on my phone?
Yes, I can see.
I'm going to click in here. I have a bunch of lists of different things. I actually have a list that says celebrities. It's not Angela. That would be amazing. But watch. I'm going to go through right to the bottom. You'll see number 100, Jack Nicholson, number 1, Tom Hanks. These are all different the whole way through. You can see this.
Yes.
Now listen, you said 96, right? Yes. I want you to really have a look. 47, Usain Bolt. 60 is Ariana Grande. You said 96, which in this case, you can have a look at who that is. 95 would have been Tiger Woods.
Michael Jackson.
Yes, 96 is Michael Jackson. But had you said 97, we would have had Meryl Streep. Isn't that so strange? Michael Jackson. But you know what's most unusual? Have you noticed the post-it note just above your right shoulder stuck on the wall that's been there from the start of the show?
Oh, I see. No, I didn't notice
you
that.
You didn't notice me sticking that there. If you watch this back, you'll see it's been there the whole time. Would you grab it? You can. You might have to do a little stretch.
Oh, you little surreptitious Samson, you. Oh.
Now, you ended up picking Michael Jackson.
Yes.
No way you could have known you were going to end up with that name.
No.
Have a little look at what I've written down before we started.
Oh. It says clear as day. Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson.
I am dazzled by that.
I wanted to make sure I got one thing right. I do admit defeat on the 20 questions for the first time ever on the show. What is your biggest fear?
Well, I mean, I've been a tiny bit unfair. Mm. I always, always say, I've not tried to be cryptic. Because it's you, Joe. But I always answer this as my biggest fear. Mm. It's cynicism.
Cynicism is your biggest fear.
It's my biggest fear because there have been occasions where I have had a day where I've got out on the wrong side of bed.
Yes.
And I've had three conversations in a row where I've noticed about halfway through that I've sounded a touch jaded. Mm. And I realized that it's addictive. Mm. So I think if you become a cynic, it happens piecemeal, almost imperceptibly.
Yes, bit by bit. And it terrifies
me. Yes, exactly. It's that. It terrifies me because I think it would fundamentally unpin my whole persona.
That's a lovely fear to have, though. You're being very thoughtful of other people, I think, at the same time.
Well, I hope so, but I promise I wasn't trying to be tricky.
No, you weren't at all. I just think I think you just genuinely beat me.
There must be like one in a million people that pick a non-physical fear.
Yeah, it's an unusual one. At least I got some of the letters right, so I was along the right lines.
Yes, but that was amazing. How did you get C?
Well, I don't know, maybe a lucky
guess.
And
you knew why.
I did. Letters are easy to pick out, but if I didn't know what the word was, that sometimes challenges me. Whew, that was difficult. I think I was thrown by the word. I mean, I managed to gauge his reactions when picking out letters, which is why I guess C and Y correctly. But that's as far as I got. So, guys, I'm going to let you into a little secret. As there is no guarantee I will always get the tricks right, I always have something extra up my sleeve just to distract the guest in case it all goes wrong, which is where the celebrity reveal trick came in. Oh, and sorry, I'm not going to reveal how that trick is done just yet. Okay, right, guys, now it's time to talk about the glabella. Well, not talk about it. Lots of forehead touching and eyebrow raising. Here we go. Tom, you have a very, very interesting little career in telly.
Yes.
I want you to talk a little bit about Celebs Go Dating and how you possibly ever landed a gig like that, because that's an unusual one.
That was a very, very curious accident. Mm. I mean, we've spoken a little about my erstwhile thespian days, and that led to it, really. I'll try and truncate this story because it's quite a long story, but I was in a murder mystery, a very, very bad murder mystery play in Windsor, in the Theatre Royal, and I was playing a terribly unlikely suspect, and I was sort of bumbling along in my 20s, sort of not getting anywhere fast, just sort of working occasionally. I thought, I have to do something bold and doughty. So I secretly auditioned for The Voice, and I got through all of the kind of behind-the-scenes auditions, and I finally sang before the judges, and I flopped, Joel. I mean, terribly.
What were you singing? Not ABBA or something?
Accentuate the Positive,
okay.
Which was the oldest song of the entire series. It's a 1947 song. And I flopped terribly, but the show itself was very generous to me. Mm. And they played about 8 minutes of me with my sort of dialogue with the judges, my whole song, my interview, etc. And from that, the lady creating Celebs Go Dating spotted me and and asked me to come in and just talk to camera for an hour. And that was it.
What a lovely girl.
That was it. She was absolutely enchanting. And she said, we don't know what we want you to do. You may end up on the cutting room floor because we really don't know how your element will slot in. We just want you to be a kind of ear, shoulder, bosom, really. And
but it worked out well.
Yes, and I thought, what a liberating notion that, you know, if I am dreadful, I'll just be snipped out.
Who cares?
No one will know I was there.
Well, that didn't happen. Thankfully. And how many years ago was this?
I think we've been going for about 6 or 7 years. Wow. We've done 11 series.
Goodness gracious. And you still enjoy?
Thoroughly. Well, I mean, it never gets old for me, really, because each batch of celebrities are so singular and so divergent that the nature of the whole conversation changes.
Totally. So I would like to know, do you have any top tips for people when they do go dating? Maybe not celebrities, because I don't know that there'll be a whole lot of celebrities.
Yes, well,
you never know. You never know.
That I am a dating failure myself and a total ignoramus. But my dating experience, even though I haven't had much more success, has improved in quantum measures. And I think that almost happened overnight. In my late 20s, I sort of thought, I do edit and modify myself according to what I think the person sitting opposite me would like to hear and see.
And that's a mistake.
And yes, and I think I started to celebrate my idiosyncrasies, however curious they seemed to be. And it did result in a lot more success and a much sort of more profound pleasure in dating for me.
So be yourself.
Be yourself, essentially, but also especially be yourself if you're a bit of a kook. You know, if that person can celebrate you warts and all. And think about what you're drawn to, because I am drawn to, if somebody is anxious, for example, and they fiddle with their lapel or have a slightly dewy top lip or finger their clavicle, I find all of that immensely attractive.
Yes.
So self-editing gets you nowhere.
Really good advice. I think good advice for dating, but also in life in general.
In life.
I think so.
Tu as raison, mon cher.
You're going to have to explain what that
you
means.
You are absolutely right.
Look at that. See, I don't pretend to understand things I don't understand. I'm on like the receiving end. Usually I'm the one people are confused by. But
you baffle people with
I like being a little bit
sleight of hand
out of my depth.
Oh, you're not.
It's good.
We're very much in the same wading pool.
Well,
I can feel it.
I hope so.
We have parity.
Parity?
Yes, we have lovely equality between us, social equality.
I'm glad you think so, I agree. Listen, I'd love to talk a little bit about your new book, which we have.
Oh my, yes.
On the table, Tom Reed Wilson, on the tip
of
my tongue.
On the tip of my
tongue. The perfect word for every life moment. I'll let you hold your own book.
Oh, thank you, darling.
You know what?
This was a labour of love, I have to say.
It looks fantastic. And I've had a little glance through it as well.
Have you?
I'm going to take it home.
Volume. Yeah, oh, please do. It is for you.
Yes. Well, I'm going to read it, absolutely. I'll read it in the airport tonight for sure.
There's a lot of smut, I have to warn you. I wrote the kids' book first. And after 9 months of being PG, it was like the boy that took the finger out of the dike. And this smut poured out of me. Actually, I didn't realize until I did the audiobook. And I sat down and recorded in one day. And then I said to the sound engineer, this is appalling. It's wall-to-wall smart. People are going to think I'm obsessed.
Oh, that's okay. Be yourself.
You
say
I am.
Not at all. No, I have had the same experience when I had to record the audiobook for my book as well. It was very strange, very strange. And I noticed that I write very differently than how I speak. That was a problem.
Really?
Yeah. So.
Oh, gosh.
Had experience.
Was it a magic book?
It was a magic book, yeah.
Say,
well, treated books. Maybe I'll post you one of my books as well. Listen, I would love to try one last thing before I let you go, because you're a busy man. But we do have your book in front.
Yes.
I'd say you know it inside out and you know lots of the words inside there.
Yes,
what I'd like you to do in your head right now, right there in the center of your head, is just to think of one word in particular. Get it locked inside your head.
Right, got it.
And then say, yes, Joel, I have a word when you have a word.
Yes, Joel, I have a word.
Isn't that fantastic? I love a man who can follow instructions. It's such compliance. That's good.
Okay. It is dancing there on my frontal lobe.
I'm going to grab your book. Interesting you say that. Okay, I'm going to try and guess what word it is that you've actually thought of. And I haven't had a whole lot of chance today to look through. Goodness, there's so much choice. Yes or no, do you know roughly where in the book this falls?
Oh, gosh, that's a good question.
And it's okay if you don't.
I think it's roughly in the middle.
Oh, don't tell. Okay, well, that actually gives me a nice big clue. That's good. I'm going to go right to the middle. Thank you. Well, here's the thing. Listen, Tom, not exactly what... I'm not being very honest, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
I like how you have your eyes closed the whole time as well. That's actually...
Oh, should I open them now?
Well, if you're tired, you can keep them closed. I can be exhausted.
No, you're very calm.
That's good. You have a word in your mind.
Yes.
And that was a free choice.
Yes.
You don't feel in any way influenced to have thought of that word?
Not at all.
Really?
No.
Interesting.
No,
we'll see how well this has worked. Your language patterns give away, I think, already what it is that you've thought of, and the listeners hopefully have picked up on that. But I have been trying something with you. Yeah, just a little bit. I was stumped on the 20 questions, but I'm pretty sure this one has indeed worked. Don't tell me what the word is just yet.
Okay.
Do you remember when you came into the studio? I actually vanished for a little bit right at the start to go and record the intro to the show.
Yes, you did. I was bereft.
I did. And that was before we talked about anything, actually, probably in your mind, although I made sure to do my part. Maybe if you listen back in your head as to what we spoke about. But
I'm curious as to... Gosh, no, I've
got such an adult brain.
An adult brain.
It's the worst type of brain to have.
It's awful.
It's terrible.
It's gay abandon in there. Which I know is the best kind of abandon, but it's still...
Yeah, as a mind reader, sometimes I don't like to delve into people's brains. Adult brains are not good. They're not good.
No.
Tom, what word did you think of?
I can't tell you, can I?
You can tell me.
Glabella.
Glabella.
Which is the bald spot between your eyebrows. We've got a few little bald spots. The weenus is another one.
The weenus, here.
Yes, there.
I know the weenus well.
Yes.
Yeah, you never, isn't it? You can't, like, if someone pinches the weenies, you can't feel it, isn't that? I think that's a rumor. I can definitely feel that, for
yes,
sure.
Yes, I'm sure I can feel my weenies. Yes.
I could get a full episode of that on Influence Plus, Christina. Glabella.
Yeah.
Any particular reason as to why you thought of that word?
I don't know. It leapt out at me in a curious sort of a way.
I'd say it did. I'm going to play you something. We recorded before the show started, a little voice recording. I'm going to play this for you right now. I would like, I have to go into memos here, and I'm going to show you the timestamp so you can see it. You can see, in fact, have a little look before we started recording, probably literally right as you entered the room. Can you see the timestamp?
Oh, I see, 3:09. That was significantly before.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm going to press play. I want you to listen carefully and tell me if you're in any way freaked out by this.
I'm Joel M, and my guest this week is actor and writer Tom Reed Wilson. Now, you may have seen Tom's Word of the Day Instagram videos, and his new book is all about words. So that being said, I'm going to try and influence Tom to pick out a specific word from his book. And I predict that word will be glabella. We'll see, but for now, guard your mind, and welcome to Influenced.
Now, I am well and truly gobsmacked. This seldom happens to me, but wow.
That's actually the biggest compliment.
You knocked me for six, Joel. I cannot begin to fathom how you did that. Even when you were saying before, there's all kinds of subtextual things going on that the listener will be privy to. I didn't know what you're talking about.
This is actually the most quiet I've seen you all day. This is good.
That's a compliment. I am simply... dazzled by
you. Oh, well, thank you very much. Tom, listen, I know you're very busy. We have to let you go out into the big bad world, but...
Well, we both have to sprout wings,
we do. I have
you
to catch
almost
an airplane.
Literally, yes.
I do.
Yes.
I have to bounce out of my chair now. Guys, the book is on the tip of my tongue, Tom Reed Wilson. Please do go get the book. I really look forward to reading it myself.
Oh, you're a darling. You're
thank you so,
so
much for coming
that.
In today. Thank you
so
much.
Oh, I've loved it. I've had an absolute ball.
Oh, well.
You couldn't have been more hospitable, all of you.
That's what we like to hear.
Yes.
Well, listen, thank you so much for coming on, Tom. I will see you again. But for now, listeners, always remember to guard your mind because you never know who might be listening. Good luck. Here's what's coming up on next week's episode.
Fuck. Oh.
No, it's not.
Fuck off.
Is it?
I wrote it down earlier.
Fuck off.
How the fuck
can I see?
That?
Is it really?
It's really too fast.
Yes, that's good.
And you did it in 8.
I did it in 8. That was my next question.
But also, we're totally chill about the fact that, like, how? Because I laughed at 7 and I was like, oh, bless him, I'll have thrown him off just because I was just, like, panicking. How did he get it?
If you want another podcast to listen to, why not try out a compelling new audio drama from Crowd Stories called Eliza? Eliza's a robot, but her story is very human. She exists in a world of dominance, manipulation, and love, all set in a future that's far too close for comfort. It's fiction, or is it?
Just search for Eliza. And remember, be careful of your thoughts, because you never know who might be listening.
Crowd Network, a place where you belong.